Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punch Bowl News. It's Thursday, March 10th, 2022. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, the House passed the Omni. Number two, Dems in disarray, what happened in the House last night? And number three, John Fetterman's up on the airwaves in Pennsylvania. All right, Jake, it was a very dramatic Wednesday yesterday with the Democrats' ability to keep the government funded, pass critical aid for Ukraine, up in the air, really. But they finally got it together.
They did get it together. Good morning from beautiful in Philadelphia, where it's always sunny, although I'm looking out the window right now, Anna, and it's very dark. So it's not always sunny in Philadelphia, in case you were wondering. So yesterday was a big mess. So let's just start from the top. I mean, the House Democrats released their $1.5 trillion omnibus bill at around 1:30 in the morning on Wednesday morning, or so. And they thought they would be able to pass it. This bill included critical funding for Ukraine. It included $15 billion in funding for COVID relief, offset by clawing back some expired COVID relief money from states. Now, that was a big problem, and about 70 lawmakers revolted. 30 states would have been impacted by this, and so the Democratic leadership had to, quite frankly, they had to pull the COVID money right out of the bill. And this was a priority, by the way. This was money sought by the White House. They wanted $22.5 billion. They later settled on $15 billion. And now they're settling for nothing. And the future of COVID relief, Anna, and we're going to get into this in the next story here. Yeah. Future of COVID relief is very, very grim. But listen, I would say this. This is a massive bipartisan win. The bill passed by huge margins in the House of Representatives. And I would say this. You know, this might be the last omnibus spending bill for a while. If Republicans take the House, which we don't know, but history would indicate that that the Republicans will. I can't see another bipartisan agreement coming under Speaker Kevin McCarthy if that ever happens, or some other Republican speaker, although I assume it'll be McCarthy. So, Anna, I assume if Republicans take the majority of the House, we'll be running on CRs. This government will be running on CRs for a long time. So I think this is a pretty big bipartisan win.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think Pelosi takes the victory lap, but certainly getting there, as you indicate, was difficult. And I think it also indicates, to your point, that COVID money was a fraction of what this White House wanted, first of all. So they are already getting whacked there. And then secondly, just shows you how little sway or confidence a lot of Democrats have when it comes to this White House, that they're going to do what they want, which is, you know, when you're the leader of the free world and you have control all branches of government, it's hard to kind of put a finer point on how that, you know, just means a lot of Joe Biden's agenda could get very difficult. We often hear about Senator Joe Manchin and how he's stopping things in that 50-50 Senate. But man, Pelosi's got tight numbers, too. And that was definitely borne out yesterday. Let's move on to the number two story and get a little bit deeper here about what actually happened, right? I mean, leadership thought that this was kind of wrapped up, and then they got completely blindsided with an uprising in their ranks. Can you go a little deeper on that? And then also, I mean, I also just wanted to make sure we hit on, like, what does this mean for Pelosi and her leadership team, which, you know, I think by and large has been extremely successful.
Well, by and large, she's the most successful leadership lawmaker of our generation, Anna. You and I have been both covering her, you for longer than me, but for longer than both of us would care to admit. Although she mentioned yesterday she was at John F. Kennedy's inauguration, you and I were not around to cover her there.
And we got a lot of history happening here.
Yeah, I don't know. There was a point to that story that she told. I don't remember exactly what it was on the very few hours of sleep that I'm running on. But so everybody made this decision. This was a decision made by the White House, by Democratic leadership, by the Senate, by the House, this decision to claw back the COVID money. But Pelosi's critics say she has become, her leadership has become too insular. Her circle of close confidants has become too small for her own good. if you think of it from just a basic kind of the most basic level you could think of it. So they did this, they offset this COVID money at the demand of Republicans, and they didn't realize it was going to be problematic. And that is problematic in and of itself, right? So there's no question Pelosi has concentrated too much power in the Speaker's office. Decisions are made without buy-in from the rank and file. Pelosi's involved in every decision Democrats make because she thinks she's the best, and she has a lot of she has a lot of data to back that up. So Democrats are sometimes forced to swallow things they don't want to swallow. Now, well, here's what Pelosi's team would say. They would say they've shrunk their circle purposely. They have a rocky relationship with the White House, which tends to agree with Schumer more than they agree with her. And then they say, listen, the White House okayed this offset, this clawing back of COVID money. And then when people revolted, they did nothing about it. And there's some truth to that. I mean, they did let it kind of hang out. And Pelosi cleaned this up, and it wasn't pretty, but she cleaned it up, and she got the omnibus done. And frankly, here's what she says. These kinds of trade-offs are necessary in divided government. They are critical in divided government. And she was trying to protect hard-fought wins in the omnibus, which she says are transformational wins. And she has to understand, and she understands the give and take. She actually mentioned yesterday, and I didn't put this in the newsletter, but you'll remember Dave Obey, the chair of the Appropriations Committee from Wisconsin. And she said he used to walk into rooms and say, I know you hate me. I hate me too. You know, like I couldn't get what I wanted in this bill either. So, this is how Pelosi looks at it. Like, I think we've shifted. I don't know what you think about this. We've shifted to, lawmakers have shifted to a paradigm that like is very absolutist, right? It's very absolutist in like if the leadership feels like people aren't willing to see the forest for the trees. Or whatever that saying is, they lose the forest for the trees.
But don't you think it's more that the politics has become, I mean, to your point, yes, it's the idea of compromise is a bad word, but it's also the headlines and what a lot of members run on, particularly in the House now, when it's so kind of partisanly divided, is on those absolute things, right? I mean, there aren't earmarks. No one's saying, hey, I got this road money for you. I mean, I think that
there are earmarks, but they're not like they used to be, right? Like,
I mean,
they're not
correct.
Like,
but I mean, it's not the same. They're not going home and that's why people run for office.
Right. And also I'd say the bigger point is there are earmarks, but but politics sometimes dictates that they can't even brag about them anymore. Right. Like, right. It's just like, that's not a tenable solution for people. So, you know, it's a different House of Representatives than it used to be. And Pelosi said this great quote, you're telling Noah about the flood in that. Yeah. Like, she didn't get what she wanted either. And the overall point here is that this bill has a lot of wins in her view. And look what it did for Ukraine, she said. And like, people should just shut up. She didn't say that, but that's what she was trying to say. Like, give it up. Like, look at all the good we did. That's what her point is.
And ultimately, she was successful. And they're in Philadelphia, which was the big drama of last night.
We didn't know
that
they were going to get to Philadelphia. It was interesting last night. They didn't know if they were going to be able to get buses up here.
Put me in coach. I could have logistically figured it out for them, but
Anna,
I'm glad they were able
to. I feel like the Punch Bowl news team led by you would have had this solved, the whole transportation snafu, but you know, their bags were up here in Philadelphia. They were even talking about getting their bags back to DC when they didn't think they would go. But Pelosi was like working the floor last night, basically trying to say, let's get this floor debate over with and let's go to Philadelphia.
And there she is. The number three story of the morning, an interesting item I found to be in the tally this morning. Pennsylvania Democrat John Fetterman is up with his second TV ad buy in his Senate race, focusing on his ties to Western Pennsylvania and the town of Braddock. It's a biographical spot portraying him as a former Rust Belt mayor dedicated to leaving no community behind. Interesting to me, Jake, just in the sense of how Fetterman is trying to run in that swing state and, you know, kind of looking to basically kind of have that connection to rural Pennsylvania, which, you know, in large part has gone more Republican in recent years.
Yeah, part of Pennsylvania you know a little bit well. And quite frankly, Anna, he's running against Connor Lamb, a House Democrat who is a member of Congress, does not have that kind of executive experience, a former attorney, a current attorney. And Fetterman is trying to make the point that he is, you're right, he's part of this community that is has trended right in recent years, and he's worked with the community. He's part of that community. This is obviously a marquee race, the Pennsylvania Senate race, the state in which I'm sitting right now, a seat that Republicans are hoping to keep, the retiring Senator Pat Toomey seat, also a Republican, so a marquee race here in the Keystone State.
All right, before we let you go, just a reminder that if you are a Democratic staffer or member of Congress and you're up in Philadelphia, we are going to be hosting our Cocktails and Conversations event tonight at the Democratic Retreat from 4 to 6. We're going to kick that off with a fireside chat with our very own Heather Cagle, who will be interviewing Caucus Chair Hakeem Jeffries. We are going to be bringing that to a larger audience, Jake, with you, myself, and Heather rapping about what's happening at the Democratic Retreat and kind of bringing some of the sound from the interview with Hakeem Jeffries as a bonus episode, hopefully later this week.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Send me an email if you have any questions, if you're up in Philly, and we look forward to seeing you.
All right, with that, thanks so much for listening. Leave us a rating and review. You can also subscribe to Punchbowl News at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe.